Hey there, New Hope Church. Happy New Year. Before we get jumping into the message from this last Sunday, let's listen to one of the prophetic words that Kevin Wentworth had for us concerning ending 2019 and hopping into the new year of 2020.
As Americans, we kind of want our life to really look right and all our situations to be lined up, everything in order. And God's after using us in spite of our situations. And in spite of what's going on, if we wait for life to line up, we're never going to step out. And so I really feel like the Lord this morning is calling New Hope into that season for 2020. But I really feel like in this chorus this morning, he's saying, unload on me what's been burdening you in 2019. Just give it up to me as we're singing this chorus, as Liz is singing this over us, and keep singing too. But give your burdens to him. Let's start 2020 knowing that all of our situations are not perfect, but we got a way maker, okay, a promise keeper, okay? He's going to walk us through this, and he's going to use us in spite of it. So as we sing, I feel like the Lord's given us an opportunity. I'm just going to start unloading my 2019 on him and letting him pour back into me. Does that work?
The light has come, right? The light has come. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, right? I'll be honest with you. I will be completely honest with you. I'm not a big Christmas guy. Like, I don't really get into the jolly fat man and the Christmas tree thing and stuff like that. I do like to celebrate Jesus. But, the family loves it. And so we have a good time. One thing that we did this year was there's this court out in Oakdale where we live called Atlas Court. And Kaylee went to school with the boy's father that does the thing. His name is Jack Crossman, so his father apparently is Mr. Crossman. But Mr. Crossman is like cracked out on Christmas lights, and he has gotten all the neighbors involved. So like the entire court is set to music, like every house. There's not a single house in the court that's not set to music, and it's like, you've seen them, right? You know what I'm talking about. So we went there like, what did we go, twice, babe? Three times? We could have gone a third. If they're still going, we'll go one more time. We'll have to shut the thing down. It's really cool. So we went with our best friends out there one night, and then we drove to Shelter Cove in Modesto where they had one, but Mr. Crossman's was better. I'm sorry, Shelter Cove. Like, you could, it was pretty awesome, I won't lie, but it was good. But, you know, the one thing, I was talking about this message with Stacy, and it's like, people love lights. You should have seen the people lining up, you know, to go through the lights. And we even drove through the court like three or four times just to see the lights. We wanted to catch all the songs, you know. But there's something about light and the darkness, right, that we're attracted to. I think that's what attracted me to Jesus. He was shining in my darkness, and he drew me to himself, right? I remember one time... for those of you that don't know, I am a contractor, so I'm always messing with things, you know. And I didn't like the light bulbs in our kitchen. They were too yellow, and I like more of a white light. I wanted something with a higher Kelvin value, if you guys know what that is. So I changed all the light bulbs out in the kitchen one day, but it was during the daytime. So you turn the lights on, and you could tell they were a little different, you know. You couldn't tell till the next morning when I come down before the sun comes up and turn the lights on, you know, no dimmer, no nothing. Holy cow! It had a bad effect. I'll be honest with you. I really liked the color of the light, but all of a sudden, my kitchen that I thought was really clean, all of a sudden, we had to do a deep clean on the cabinets because it was lighting up things that I'd never seen before. Isn't that how it is when we come to Jesus? Yeah. He lights up things we've never seen before, you know? It's funny to me. I have to, at times... I feel like I have to give myself a gut check every once in a while because life is going along, right? And you're just, you know, you're on the track, you know, you're just going through life and you have your pattern and you have your lifestyle and you have your way of doing things. And before you know it, it's like, what am I missing? Something went wrong. Did I take a wrong turn or something went somewhere? And sometimes I realize, I think things got dim and I didn't realize it. And then even... you might get off to a point of like, and I'm not picking on you guys, this is a very bright side of the church, but maybe you head to where, you know, you guys are always bright and shiny. But you get to like something quite dim, and when things are dim, you just can't quite figure out what it is. And in order to really see what's going on, you need to draw closer to the light. And as you draw close to the light, he reveals what was going on in the dimness of what normal life brings, right? So, I will warn you, I did a word search on light, just the New Testament. I'll save you the Old Testament. But there are 78 scriptures in the New Testament containing light, and we're going to read all of them. Just kidding. I did read all of them. I did read all of them, and I wrote down a lot of them, and so I have a lot of Bible reading to do. And so we're going to do that, and we're going to be here until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Actually, is it really? Oh, no, it's 10:42. I've got 40 minutes. Can you handle it? All right, everybody, if we need an intermission, like a seventh inning stretch or something, just let me know. There's only a few of us here, so like you could run the aisles if you need to and then get back in your seat. But as long as you don't start nodding off, because remember, I throw erasers at people, even though I don't have them when they start nodding off. First scripture, because what do we preach? We preach Jesus, right? Hopefully, that's what we're preaching. Hey, that was a good time for one, Cindy. I love you, and I love that enthusiasm. You are awesome. You're my favorite one here today. Don't tell anybody else, okay? yay! I do like Cindy a lot. Okay, love this one. The verse of the first of the New Testament, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Thank you, Jesus, for shining the light on me. Whew. He is the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No matter what, no matter what happens between Jesus and Him coming back for us, no matter what happens within your story, the darkness has not overcome the light. Even though we can be tempted to think so at times, right? Next verse, because we got to get through all of these. Jesus proclaims the truth about Himself. This reveals an amazing truth that I try to rehearse as often as possible. I'll let you know after we read it. Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What I love about this is John's proclamation about Jesus was true. John 1:1-5, right? The proclamation about Jesus was true. The next verse, which was John 8:12, was Jesus proclaiming the truth about Himself. Right? Sometimes don't we believe things about ourselves that didn't come from God? Right? But God has a truth about you, Danny. He has a truth about you. And if you find the truth that He believes about you and you proclaim the truth about yourself, you're drawn into the light. If you believe something that God doesn't believe about you, or God doesn't proclaim over you, you will be drawn away from the light. It's important to have the mind of Christ, to have our mind agree with the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen, amen, Cindy?
Amen.
All right. I love that. I love amen. I'm old school. I do get a little criticism. I won't tell you from who for liking amens, but I like amens. I don't know why. I just like amens.
Amen.
Amen. I like you too, Bob. There was a proclamation about Jesus that He was the light. Jesus proclaimed about Himself that He's the light. But we know we have a generous God, because now He proclaims that we are His light. He shares that light with us. In Matthew 5:14-16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I extrapolate a few things out of this. One, it uses words like, let your light. Let it. That means that revealing His light is somehow, some way within our control. But when Jesus says a city is set on a hill where it can't be hid, you know, it's not hidden under a basket. People put it up on a stand, you know. Don't hide it. Right? Be proud of who He is. Have faith in who He is, and have faith that the light that He has that has affected you will also affect others. I could wow you with my charisma and my good character and dashing good looks. But I won't do you any good in eternity, right? That will do you no eternal good. But the Jesus who was proclaimed to be the light, who proclaimed Himself to be the light, who lived up to the standard of being the light, has placed that light within me and you. If I have anything good to offer you, it is the Jesus with inside of me sharing that with you. Stacy and I went to a Christmas service in our hometown, and they did the candlelight. You guys have done it, maybe you haven't. One thing that Stacy noticed when we left there, she's like, you know, the one thing that I really loved was that we all stood there with unlit candles. And we were somewhere near the back because we don't know those people. And we had unlit candles. And somebody up at the front of the church lit one. The preacher lit one, handed it to some people, and they walked down the aisles, and you waited patiently in darkness while somebody brought some light to you. And the beautiful, this of all the things that you could pull from that, the one thing that was really cool was when two wicks, you know, you had this flame and this flame, and when you put these two together, they didn't just double, they amplified. They amplified. I don't know about you guys, but I've been through seasons of darkness, and when the light came near, it brought a little light into your darkness, right? Okay, next verse. This one is something that I have always, it's something I still question, I don't fully understand, but I'm going to open it up and you let me know what you think later or something. But Jesus hides Himself at times. In fact, right here in John 12, we're going to read 35 through 40, somewhere in the middle down here, it says, He left and hid Himself from them. Let's start in verse 35. It says, then Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. When He'd finished speaking, Jesus left and hid Himself from them. He said, I'm the light, and I'm with you. Don't walk in the dark. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. And when He finished, He hid the light because He hid Himself. It seems a little counterintuitive for Jesus to tell them about the light and draw close to the light and become children of the light and then to hide Himself from them. The only thing I could pull from it is that He wants us to search for Him. You know? Just because we are the children of God does not mean that the light doesn't have to be maintained, you know? The last time I stood before you, I talked about the wise and the foolish virgins. There was a responsibility upon those young ladies to make sure that the fuel was in the lamp at the right place, at the right time, to make sure they had enough to endure the darkness that they had to endure to get back to the daylight again, right? As I read through the Word, anywhere I read through the Word, I feel like it's an undertone. We have a responsibility to find the light that's made available to us. It's not just going to be there. It's not, I mean, you know, like Kevin said, we live in a current day society that's a little bit different than the society that was present when these words were written, you know, because we have light switches, you know. But what if PG&E actually did turn the light off in Manteca? What would you do then? Some of you'd be lighting candles, and you better have candles, you know, and your houses are all going to smell like, I don't know, wherever my wife buys those scented candles from, but they all have a scented smell, you know. But life would get a little strange for you, you know, if you had to live by candles. But we do have a responsibility to keep the lights on. And I will tell you this. When you find darkness in life, it's not always your fault. You know? Don't take it that way. I'm somewhere in the middle of life, and I'm fully convinced that trauma is a part of the human experience. I've sat down with some of you, and I'll bet you if I sat down with all of you, you could all explain to me a dark period of your life. And most of those dark periods probably weren't your fault. You know? Maybe you have some that were your fault. I know Dave does. We've talked about him, and he's told you up here, so I'm not revealing his secrets. I didn't say anything, did I? No, we good? How you doing, huh? All right, yeah. You know, but the point is that trauma is part of the human experience. All of us have had it, right? It's dark, and it's ugly. But Jesus shines his light. I don't want us as Christians to believe that every time we read these scriptures that they only apply to unbelievers who are coming to Jesus. Because I once was lost and now I'm found. You know, I was blind and now I see. I know that's not a scripture, it's a song, but it's a good one. You know, I was not born into a Christian church, and I did have some dark years before I came to Christ, but a bright light interrupted my life and redirected my path. That's my salvation story. But that was a lot of years ago, and I have a lot of story that's happened between me and him up until now, and I got a lot more ahead of me. I'm not going to stop and think that my salvation was the only powerful experience I'm ever going to have with God. God's got power available to you right now, no matter if it's dark or dim or bright for you. And it doesn't matter if that darkness exists because it's your fault or somebody else's fault or nobody's fault at all. If you've got darkness, God cares. He cares, and he has an answer for it, and we got to draw close to the light to see it. After that, it says, Jesus hid himself from them. Immediately after, it says, even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe because of Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. It plagues me to think that there have been opportunities for healing and I've chosen to wear a blinder rather than receive the answer to the problem. I hope you'd agree with me. Because the light never stops shining. We experience day and we experience night, but nobody turns the off switch on the sun when the sun goes down. His sun has always been shining, and it will always shine. And Jesus has always been shining, and he will always shine. And if you're not seeing it, we've got to find our path through the darkness. Light reveals truth, but darkness hides the truth. Darkness draws people away from the light, and the darkness has an attractiveness to it. Darkness hides your shame, and misery loves company. There's a big market for it. There's whole cities based on that. That if you've got problems, come to the darkness, they all hide here, and people there have worse problems than you. Come have a good time. Right? Has that ever fixed a thing for anybody? No. It just adds to the darkness. I told my kids when I was younger, you know, Dad's probably seen it all and done it all, and you're not going to surprise me with anything, and if you do ever do anything, I'm going to catch you doing it, so you might as well not hide it from me. But I told them this. Sin is fun, but there's a high price to pay if you do it. Always. There was never a time that I had an enjoyable, sinful event that there wasn't a shame, a guilt, an awfulness, a dirtiness that drives you back to it again and again and again. And if you're ever offered a way out, don't ever go back. And if we are believers, don't get enticed into it. If you're entangled with anything, let Jesus break it again. There's no point in going to the darkness. Yeah, it feels good, but it makes big problems. Right? Luke 11, 34 and 36 says, "The eye of the lamp, your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eyes are healthy, your whole body will also be full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness." I don't know how light can also be darkness. It's just the way it's worded. But it's letting me know that just because I'm saved, just because I am a son of God, just because God loves me and he'd forgive me for anything, and just because his mercies are new every morning and he'd forgive me 1,000 times a day if I needed to ask him, it doesn't mean that I don't have a light-dark balance somewhere going on inside. But all I know is darkness is horrible. Darkness, it taints the light, you know? It'd be like wearing sunglasses in here right now, you know? You guys all might say, like, what's Blake been smoking? Why is he wearing sunglasses? You know what I mean? There's no point to dim the bright light of Jesus. But you know, you do have to be brave, right? Because it is going to reveal some things in us. But I don't want to live ignorant. And I'm not smart enough to fix myself. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. You ever feel like something's missing? Anybody? I'll take a hand. All right, yeah. You feel like something's missing? I love this scripture. It's a little out of context, but I think it applies. So you can send me an email later, even though you don't have my email address. This is in Luke 15, 8 through 10. "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one." It's talking about the context of the scripture is that if there was 99 people that were saved and one was lost, what would God do in order to find the one lost? But in a lost child is vitally important. I mean, you do everything you can to find that. But nevertheless, this woman lost a coin, and it meant something to her. "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." God wants to find lost things. God wants you to find lost things. And if something is missing, he's not keeping it from you. He wants you to find it. He doesn't want you to have anything missing. He wants you to find it. Right? And just because it's not like, oh, there it is. Sometimes you might have to burn the midnight oil, turn on the lights, sweep the places you haven't been sweeping yet, search the places you haven't been searching yet until you find it. And then when you find it, rejoice. Right? God wants us to have a little bit of tenacity at times. Sometimes things aren't going to be easy to find. But search. Search. Light draws out the darkness, but darkness prevents us from coming to the light. We're going to get through all of these, I'm convinced. What time is it? Whew, I'm doing good. John 3, 16 through 21. A lot of us are familiar with 16. I like what proceeds afterwards. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." What does that mean, to save it? It means he wanted to find everything that's lost and bring it home. Amen. Everything that's lost. He has no intention of losing a single soul. But he's going to bring everyone that will come home. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because of their deeds. Their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. It takes bravery to come to Jesus. It takes tenacity. You got to draw a hard line at times, and you're going to have to sacrifice something. But he's worth finding. It's worth it to live in the light and not to live in darkness. It's worth it. And I'm not saying any of you live in darkness, but all of us live in some sort of light-dark balance. Some sort of the dimmer switch is set at some level. And you know, the light produces joy, just like watching Christmas lights. Why do people go watch Christmas lights in the middle of the night? It evokes positive emotion. It makes you feel joyful, hopeful, musical, whimsical. I mean, you fill in the blanks. It gives you a good feeling, right? Jesus wants you to have a good feeling. He doesn't want you to live in drudgery, you know? But every season of our life is going to be somewhere in a light-dark balance. Desire the light. Search for the light. Build and maintain the light. This is the verdict. I'll read it one more time. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. A lot of us, we don't want to let go of some things. There may be some things that you say, I don't want to give up binge-watching television to go pray more. Even though you know it could produce more light in your life. You know. You fill in the blank. I won't convict you. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. I want to stand before God and say, God, I am the product of what you've done in me, and I hope you're proud of me. And dear God, I think all of us want to hear those words one day. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to stand before him and say, God, it's just me. And Lord, you know me, and you know I'm not perfect, but God, you brought me a long ways, and I'm proud of what you've done in me. You know, God, thank you for inviting me, and I'm glad that occasionally I responded. Right? Okay. It's getting a little heavy. Let's get a little lighter. All right. So, when we're talking about the light-dark balance, we have this little dog, and she's a mutt, and she's captivated our hearts, and it's prevented Stacy from wanting another baby. It's been a really good thing. But she's like a perpetual toddler. Like, even when she's a senior, she'll be like a little toddler, you know. She still plays with toys. She's like a little sea otter. She gets a toy and lays on her back and, like, plays with it. And we're like, oh, and we Google. And she gets sleepy and wants me to cradle her, and I get to be a daddy again and all these things. Carson doesn't let me do that anymore, you know. But sometimes she wakes up at 3 a.m. and she has to go pee-pee. And if Stacy's dead asleep, she's on my chest. And she's making cute faces. She's not being annoying about it. She's like, I'm like, oh, dang it. So everybody's sleeping in the house. And hey, I know my house pretty good. And I can't see in the dark. But I kind of know if I walk out past my bed and past the bathroom and through the door and then out the hallway. But doggone it, somebody will leave something there. And then you stumble and you fall in the middle of the night and you're stubbing your toe or something, you know. And I'm like, what made me think that I could do this without turning the lights on? Sometimes I wonder if my day-to-day life is the same way. I don't need to turn the lights on today. I got this. And then you stumble. I think we're all guilty. I think we're all guilty of saying, I've been down this hallway 1,000 times. I'm going to go down it one more time. And the kids left something outside the bedroom door, and now you're stepping on Legos and falling on your face in the middle of the night, you know? I don't want to fall on my face. God, I want to keep the lights on. Another one. Yeah, let's read some more scriptures. We got to get through these. Okay. And that sounds horrible, doesn't it, Kevin? We got to get through these. I just got excited. There were 78 scriptures with the word light in them, and I don't get to preach very often, so you're going to get them all right now. So the next one is John 12:46. It's a short one. It's Jesus speaking. He says, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Yes. Amen. No one who believes in me should. I made that bold. No one who believes in me should stay in darkness. But we could. It is possible to believe in him and stay far enough away from him that you're just getting a little bit of light. I don't want to live my whole Christian experience that way. I don't want to stand in eternity and look back on the years that I had there and say, gosh, that could have been so much brighter. You know? These are convicting to me, honestly. I was praying this morning. I'm like, God. And the scripture that came to my mind was the straight and narrow path. I said, God, I want to wake up in the morning and know that if there were two parallel lanes, and one of them was the wide path, and one of them was the straight and narrow, that I got on the straight and narrow path that morning. You know? Is it possible to wake up tomorrow morning, the same day, the same date, the same time that you would normally wake up and go to the same places that you're planning on going there tomorrow, but go there a completely different way? There is, isn't there? It's the straight and narrow path. It's not just for new converts. It's for all of us. Until we're all in heaven one day, the straight and narrow path is for us too. It's not just to prevent you from sin, it's to keep you in the light and to keep you under the direction of the Holy Spirit. You know what I love about church? It's you guys. No, I'm serious. You know, a lot of people say, well, why do you have to go to church to be a Christian? I mean, I can read the Bible at home. I can watch people preach on TV. I can do all that. I'm like, you know what? You don't get to experience the love of the family of God if you don't come to church. Could I do it without you? Yeah. Do I want to? No. No, I don't. You guys light me up. Yeah. In Romans 13, it says this. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, and not in the carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. You know one song, and I'm not really a singer, but I love the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's how it is. If you walk illuminated, life looks different. It looks different. It behaves different. It produces different. Right? Here's the thing. We've all experienced the light. We've all come to the light. We're all walking into the light to some degree in the light-dark scale. We're all invited to come to His glorious light, right? But we have neighbors around us that are blinded from seeing the light. In 2 Corinthians 4:4-11, it says, the God of this age, which is not our God, we could call Him the liar of old, Satan, He's blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, Have you ever stood right in front of somebody and you're sharing with them the joy that's happening inside of you, and then they respond with you something like, wow, that's really good for you. And you're like, can't you see it? Can't you see how beautiful he is? Can't you see the power that's been revealed in me? Can't you see the transformation that he's done in me? No, they can't. They can't. They can't see it. But light will penetrate darkness. It will. You just keep at it, right? They cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Lord God, I'm just a jar of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. God, reveal yourself in me. Last verse. To be the light is not automatic. We got to stay close to the light to remain bright. We do. It's our responsibility. It's our invitation. That's our response. How do you respond to a God who died for you? To give him all that we got. You know? And he responds to us in the measure that we give to him. And he's generous. My God, he's given me more than I've ever deserved. Even with the measure that I've given him. Isn't that right? First John 1, 5-10 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." Yeah, we sin. Yeah, we mess up. And yeah, we fall short. And yes, he forgives us every time. And yes, we are invited into his marvelous light. And we are all equal in Christ. There's no pedestals, there's no levels, there's no nothing to attain to. It's just, are you his or are you not his? And do you seek him or do you not seek him? Do you desire him or do you not desire him? That's it. That's all we have. Until we see him with our own eyes, all we have is to search for the God who hides. But he wants to be found. I remember when Kaylee was little, my favorite thing in the world was to come home from work and she would hear the truck in the driveway and I would come into the house and I would hide from her, but only because I wanted her to find me. That light up on her face was one of my biggest delights in my entire life. That little girl wanted to find her daddy and she would search long and hard and break through frustration to find me. And that lit my heart on fire. And the God, my Father, wants me to do the same with him. He doesn't want me to give up that easy. He doesn't want me to pray a couple times and give up. He doesn't want me to come and get alone with him a couple times a month and then give up and say, well, it's not working. He wants me to keep searching until I find. And then when I find some more and do it day after day after day to live in His marvelous light. He loves you. He loves me. And He desires your love and attention back to Him. And the rewards, I can't tell you what they'd be unique to you, but they will be unique to you and to those around you. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen. Oh, what can we sing, John?
How'd you say it?
Huh? Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
And worship with me, church.
Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
One more time.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Say these words to your Savior, church.
In His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of Your glory.
Jesus, I pray that for each of us, every one of us, that this coming year, that we would walk closely in the light, because You are the light. You are the light of the world, and Your light never goes out. And You have offered Your light to us, so much so that You have even called us the light of the world. God, I pray I could live up to that. I pray I could live up to that, and that I could shine Your light in the darkness that's around me. God, I hope to be able to share You everywhere I go, where I work and where I live, and who with whom I'm related to and with whom I go to church with, God. And God, I just make that a prayer for all of us here. God, make us Your light. You've already done it, but God, help us to live up to it. Lord, You see us and You know us, and You see our comings and You see our goings, and You know who we are and You know who we're not. But God, we are Yours and You love us. Do something great in us. We don't have to be great, God. We don't have to be great. You are great, and You can do something great in us. Just as Kevin said earlier today, we don't need to wait for everything to be perfect in our lives to be a part of something great. God, do it right here, right now, today. Begin something in us. Begin a faith in us right here, right now, today, to believe that the God of mercy, the God of miracles, the God who shines light into the darkness, shines into the darkness that we experience now and where we live, this age, this society, our homes, our neighborhoods. You shine into the darkness, and You just call us to believe it, God. You just call on us to believe it. So God, I just pray that we would believe and take action on our belief in the fact that You are the light, and You shine light into the darkness. Thank You, Jesus, for that glorious light.